couple of points before we start. If you've got a mobile phone, can you put it onto silent mode? We have writing members of the public, so I can't ask him to refrain from commenting. On my right, I have officers from the planning department, and on my left, I've got officers from the law and administration department. Officers from the planning department will present each application separately as it appears on the agenda. Members of the public who have indicated to speak will be given 3 minutes. There is a table provided at the centre of the room, and I'll indicate when they have 1 minute left to sum up. Ward members are entitled to speak for 5 minutes. An audio recording is being taken of this meeting, which shall be published on the Council's website. Members of the committee are reminded they do not enjoy any immunity such as enjoyed by their colleagues in Parliament. Members may only deal with the planning application before them in accordance with the National Planning Policy Framework, the local plan, together with any other relevant planning matters. We can now move on to the agenda. Item 1, minutes.
Mr. Chairman, there are minutes from the meetings held on the 30th of June 2020, 14th of April, 28th of April, and 26th of May 2021.
And they've been circulated?
They've all been circulated to members of the Planning Committee.
Can we accept those minutes as circulated, members?
Okay.
All in favour? Yes. Declaration of members' interests or lobbying. Any member have any interest in this application or been lobbied on it? No. Item 4. Oh, I missed that. Apologies.
Chairman, yes, apologies from Councillor Gareth Jones and from his substitute, Councillor Karen Trowbridge. Councillor Kemp is substituted by Councillor Godfrey, Councillor Edgeler, and from Councillor Loughran, who is the ward member on the application, Chairman.
And Councillor Anne Hobbs, please.
Yes, I did receive an email from Councillor Loughran apologising to his away on the campsite that there's no Wi-Fi, so she can't get connected at all. Right, I've done item 3. Item 4, delegated applications.
These will be circulated in the usual manner, Chairman, to the committee.
Thank you, Andrew. Item 5, planning applications. You can turn to page 4 of your agenda. Application 20/32255/FUL, address former garages at Trent Close, Mosbit, Stafford. The proposal, development of 3 dwellings. I think that's changing, hasn't it? It's still 3 dwellings, but in a different format.
Yes, Chairman, that's right. It's no longer 3 dwellings, brackets, bungalows. That's the first thing I need to bring to your attention. That was the original proposal. It's still 3 dwellings, but 2 of them are now houses. So this application is for the demolition of 2 separate rows of flat roof garages, and as originally submitted was for their replacement with 3 bungalows. The application was considered by committee on the 23rd of September last year and was deferred to ask the applicant to provide additional on-street parking in the area. You'll see that a copy of the previous report is attached to the agenda. The proposal is to build a detached bungalow on the site of the western block of garages, so that's the one to the left of the plan, and a pair of semi-detached houses on the site of the eastern block of 7 garages. Each of the houses would have 2 car parking spaces, and as the bungalow is now 4-bedroom, it would have 3 car parking spaces. The reduced footprint required for the houses compared with bungalows has enabled the applicant to provide 3 additional spaces, which is labelled visitor spaces on the plan. You'll see from the application site boundary that it includes the road access from Trent Close, that's the bottom of the red edge, that's where it meets Trent Close, to the garage site, and this is a private road. In addition to providing access to the garage site, this road also provides the vehicular access to individual garages situated at the rear of seven houses on Blythe Road. Those are numbers 1 to 13 odd. A footpath link will be maintained through to Blythe Road, as well as a footpath to the rear of properties 2 to 12 even Blythe Road, and 18 and 20, 30, 30 and 32 Trent Close. The application is recommended for approval subject to the conditions listed in the agenda. So if we look at the photograph, if we look at the presentation now, so you've got the red edge of the screen. The aerial photograph shows that pretty much it's a hard landscape, it's all hard surface, apart from the actual garage blocks themselves. There are five photographs. First one is looking from the access road down towards the garages, which is this photograph. So I mentioned about garage access off here to individual garages on Blythe Road. You can see one of them just to the left of this photograph. So there's a pavement and then the road goes down. So the second photograph and the third, for that matter, are then looking back at different angles. So the road that you were just looking down is where that car is situated behind this low brick wall. And those are some more of the individual garages on Blythe Road. And that's the same low brick wall towards the left of the picture, and the road looking down, same car. So that's looking down towards Trent Road. Sorry, Trent Close at the bottom. This is the picture of a western block of six garages, and that is where a bungalow would be built, it's proposed. And this is the eastern block of seven garages, where there would be two-story houses proposed. Now this is a helpful plan, because what this shows you is the original scheme that was presented to committee in September on the left of the photograph, left of the image, and the amended scheme on the right. So as I say, the bungalow in the western part of the site has changed from 3 beds to 4 beds. You can see it's a little bit larger and therefore it has an extra parking space. The two bungalows on the right hand part of the site have changed to houses, and you'll see how that's reduced the footprint, the amount of space needed for them, and that's enabled 3 car parking spaces to be provided, a block of 3 spaces just to the north of those houses, and the middle one's got some small writing on it on the screen. As with the previous scheme considered by committee, it maintains a footpath to the rear of the properties of Blythe Road, which is to the left of the bungalow, and it also maintains the existing footpath to the back of properties on Trent Road behind the two houses. So the first two plans here, just for information really, are what was considered in September. So the semi-detached bungalows, and what the amended scheme now is the larger detached bungalow, probably a similar design, a little bit wider and deeper, and the two semi-detached houses. So these are relatively small 3-bedroom properties, and 2 parking spaces to the side, no garage. As I said, Chairman, the application is recommended for approval subject to the conditions listed.
Thank you. Thank you, John. I also believe the garages that are demolishing, was there something in the report that only so many were occupied?
The first paragraph, Chairman, says that only 5 of the 13 garages are occupied.
And they're offering alternative parking for the
alternative for the occupiers of the garages. They've offered alternative garages in several locations in the area.
Thank you. Any member wish to speak on this? Councillor Cooper.
Thank you, Chair. It's just that these garages that are on offer, how far away are they from the existing ones? Have people got to go great distance to them, or are they round the corner, as it were?
That's a good question.
Did you see if it says on here where they were offered? I seem to recall, I think, of three different locations. Now, I'm trying to see if it actually tells me which are the locations in the report, but what you'll see...
Page 10, John.
Ah, thank you.
Paragraph 41.
Yeah, okay. So,
alternative space at Blythe Road, Pentvale Road, Reason Road, Lilac Road and Howard Road. Now, Blythe Road... this is Blythe Road here, so it will be probably just to the bottom, just off the screen to the bottom. I think that's the nearest of the sites. See on here, there's a number of lots of garages in the wider area. Obviously, some of these locations are going to be further away than others, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the occupiers of the garages are the ones that live immediately next to the site. That's not always the case.
Do we know to what extent that car parking area is used by other residents in the area? I know it's an ongoing problem everywhere in terms of car parking and blocking pavements and blocking driveways. Are we losing something vital there where cars are able to park off road and that clutter the place up?
Well, I mean, you saw from the photographs that there weren't many cars, so there are only three, I think, of that. That would obviously have been taken in the daytime. Just before the last committee, I visited at a weekend, and there were significantly more cars there then. Mm-hmm. I would have said there were probably about 8 or 9 cars in that area then. I don't know whose cars they were, whether they were local residents, whether they were visitors, or what. I think that what we need to remember, though, is that this is a private road. So whilst they're parking there outside the garages, they haven't actually got any particular right to do so.
Councillor Phillips.
Thank you, Chair. I have to say, I know that this was sent back because the members of the committee wanted to find out about additional parking for the residents that have got the garages there. I was really eager at the time to get this put through, due to the fact that we were looking at bungalows for disabled families. I'm really disappointed to see that it's come back and the applicants now changed their mind, and instead of having 3 family-sized disability bungalows, we've now got 1 and 2. Is there any reason, have they given any reason for their change of mind from these bungalows? Because they are desperately, desperately needed.
I'm not aware of any particular reason, but as I said in the introduction, putting houses here rather than bungalows needs a less amount of land, and that way they've been able to provide 3 parking spaces. If they were bungalows, they wouldn't have had that space to do so, I don't think. Now, I think looking at the scheme, to my mind, to do what committee wanted, it was either a question of putting parking spaces in the sort of relatively small number of green areas. So, for example, here at the end of Blythe Road, you could have potentially dug up part of the grass and put probably three parking spaces in there. So, you know, that would have been a possibility, and I think that's what some members were trying to suggest at the committee last time. Another possibility, to my mind, would have been to for example, to delete the detached bungalow from the left-hand part of the site, and you would still be able to have six or seven parking spaces there and keep the ones on the right. I can't see that unless they were digging up green space, they'd be able to have kept three bungalows and provide any more parking.
So, in reality, the current residents still don't have any additional parking if the scheme goes ahead. And what we've done is remove the ability of opening up the lives of two other families with disabled children. I'm failing to see how this scheme coming back in this present form is actually better than it was originally.
No, they are providing three parking spaces.
But isn't three new chairs, isn't one of those due to the size of the properties?
No. The parking spaces are three spaces there for that bungalow, two here for that house, two here for that house. Those are the three additional spaces that will be available to anybody else. They're labelled there as visitor spaces, but there's no restriction on who could use them.
Right, okay, so it's supposed to be visitor spaces, probably meant for those properties but will be used by the street.
Yeah.
Again, I'm still failing to see how we've improved this.
Thank you. Councillor McKeever.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's paragraphs 36, 37, and 38. So I think there should be some clarity around there, insofar that 36 brings a recognition that we're building in an urban area that may be overlooking and direct lines of vision or not. Just a question about is the planning department happy with space about dwellings and overlooking or direct views between properties or not? Because I can't make out from 36, 37, 38 whether those standards are met or not.
Chairman, yes, on paragraph 38, the first couple of lines say, having regard to the provisions of the supplementary planning document, the requirements of guideline 2 would be achieved with regard to privacy between front and rear elevations. And then it goes on to say the minimum private garden size set out in guideline 3 would also be achieved for all plots. And there would be storage space for bins, etc. So, yes, it's saying there is sufficient space between them, yes.
Okay, thank you.
And again, regarding parking, the Highways Authority on page 12.
They've got no objections as such. Councillor Cooper.
Yeah, Chair. I totally agree with the point you're on the right about the provision of bungalows for disabled people. Might have been an ideal spot for something like that, and it's a shame that we've got to sacrifice that provision for an extra couple of car parking spaces. But this is why I'm undecided on this one. If you go back to the photographs, I can't remember the number. If you go to the slide with numbers on it, that's the one there. If you imagine bungalows in that area there, they're going to be well and truly overlooked, in fact, almost within the middle of a fortress of houses. That would worry me slightly if bungalows were there. Houses would redeem that slightly. But it's conflicting in my mind, the provision of bungalows versus. Although, obviously, we're looking at this planning application and not previous normal bungalows.
Yeah, absolutely. And photograph is where the location of the two houses would be.
Did you just read Councillor Godfrey?
Yeah, actually,
I can, please, Chair, thank you. Obviously, this meets the criteria for planning. There's obviously no doubt about that. I do share the concerns, though, regarding parking. The residents who live there at the moment obviously have spaces for their vehicles at this present time. They're going to take them away. Where are their vehicles going to go? Are they going to be further away from their houses? We have to look at. Sadly, yes, I would have preferred the original scheme with the three bungalows. Unfortunately, can't dictate what a developer will put forward to us, and as long as it fits the criteria in planning terms, you have to look at it that way. Sadly, I can't see any alternative but to vote for this, but I am very concerned as regards the existing residents in the area and their parking.
Thank you. Councillor Pardesi? You just need to speak.
Okay. First of all, whatever was presented before, what could have been whatever, is irrelevant now. This is what we're looking at. And if my memory serves me right, very few of those garages are actually used to park cars. A lot of them are used as a storage space.
That's correct. There's only, I think, 5 in use out of the total. Councillor Hood.
Thank you, Chairman. Having a look at the neighbour complaints, I see that the petition, one of the neighbours has written to the portal to say that the petition still stands and the objections still stand. And through you, Chairman, John, I thought you said, if I understood what you were saying, that these houses wouldn't have their own parking, yet in paragraph 40 it says each would have 2 off-street car parking spaces, which seems incredibly unfair that all these cars which we've got photographs of on the planning portal, 9, as you said, were actually parking. It just seems incredibly sad that they're going to lose their car parking spaces, yet and they'll be displaced somewhere else, causing a problem somewhere else for other neighbours. Yet these new homes are going to have their own parking spaces. I know I'm bringing up old ground, but one of the neighbours very clearly states that Stafford Rural Homes don't know how many garages are being used because they can't gain access to them. So I'm a little, not suspicious, but perhaps don't believe exactly that all these garages that they're saying are empty. So I'm still not sure whether I'm for this application, the conditions that are being put. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Thanks for that, Sorry.
Thank you, Chairman. Just to be clear, I think if members are thinking of refusing this application, they really have to think of why they're refusing it. And I have to say, as much as I think it's a shame that the residents are going to be losing their parking spaces, I can't see any, as far as I understand, any planning reasons for turning it down.
There are no planning grounds, I think, that we could find to refuse this on. And that is the problem.
Chair, just as a reminder, that if the committee remind you to refuse it, they would need to demonstrate the planning harm and link it to a material planning consideration. It might also just be helpful to point out that the parking has to be adequate for the application that's being considered, which it is. But John, you correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think parking, I mean, would Stafford Rural Homes not obliged to provide parking for the other residents?
That's correct.
So are you proposing that, Councillor Godfrey?
I will propose that we go with the recommendation of the officers, yes.
Thank you. Is that seconded?
I'll second.
Seconded by Councillor Wickie. Anyone else wish to speak on this? No, we have a proposal that we accept the officer's recommendation, subject to the appropriate conditions. All those in favour, please show.
Seven.
Down. Those against? Abstentions?
One.
The application is therefore carried. Members, page 31, appeal, one appeal for land at Egremont, Newport Road, Stafford. The appeal was dismissed. Anyone wish to comment on that? In that case, members, the meeting is closed. Thank you for your attendance.
Yeah.